In terms of the bankruptcy, it's really kind of a garden variety Chapter 3 case. There was a sale of the assets to actually a Dallas-based fund, Lantern Capital, for $289 million plus the assumption of some liabilities. And that closed in July of 2018. So roughly about 90 days following the bankruptcy case, you've got the sale of assets. Curiously, Lantern Capital had zero movie experience prior to purchasing these assets. At the closing, the entire board resigned, save and except the independent board member who'd been appointed in April, who was a restructuring professional and female. So in May of 2019, the parties announced that they had reached a settlement with the accusers, but that settlement has now been stalled in the Harvey Weinstein case. In the Weinstein Company's case. And there's been a variety of different things that have been reported, that two of the women who would have been covered by the settlement pool, which is, I think, if I recall, about $45 million, two of the women wanted out. But really, where the case is right now is it's sort of the claims process is playing out, and there is also a conversion motion that's out there, but is not the case is not converted, at least not yet. So that's the Harvey Weinstein case. So let's talk then about Mario Batali. So Mario Batali is a celebrity chef with restaurants, various restaurant ventures up in the east, on the East Coast and on the West Coast. He had an interest in an Italian mega supermarket by the name of Eataly. And if you've never been to Eataly, it's fabulous. But it is in New York and in Chicago, and I think they've got some other locations. And then he was a frequent made frequent television appearances on various shows, and in fact led one of his own. It was a food-based talk show called The Chew. And he was also on Iron Chef in a variety of different places. And again, with Mario Batali, rumors had swirled for years that there was that he was an abuser. However, there was nothing really concrete. Well, at the end of 2017, hot on the heels of the Weinstein scandal, sexual misconduct allegations hit in an expose. So, in Mario Batali's case, it involved employees and also fellow chefs. So, promptly, the Chew gets canceled, the restaurants start to experience downturns given all of this negative media coverage, with some of the restaurants in New York and Vegas closing, and there were about 500 jobs that were lost as a result. Mario Batali issues multiple apologies, but the situation was clearly spiraling. So his partner, Joe, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Joe Bastianich, moves to separate from him. And in that same month, they announced that he is, the same month as the article comes out, they announced that he is stepping away from operations of the company, but he's still going to have financial ties with the company. Well, after that, additional allegations hit the news waves, and criminal proceedings are actually commenced against him, including claims that he drugged and raped various women. So now the pressure was really on. So ultimately, the partners in the company reached a deal in mid-2018, roughly, and an announcement was made that Mario Batali would be out of the company by about July of 2018. But it took almost a year to close. In fact, it just closed earlier this year. Ultimately, what ended up happening in the Batali case was that, or in the Batali matter, since it never filed for bankruptcy, is they brought in Joe Bastianich's sister to take over Mario Batali's stake in the company and also reportedly day-to-day operations at the company. And I think that's one of the lessons learned is the quick action to separate from Mario Batali initially from an operational standpoint, and eventually from removing his financial stake in the company might have helped them avert bankruptcy.
Now let's talk about sexual assault scandal that has plagued the news for many years, the different Catholic dioceses. To date, 21 Catholic dioceses and 3 religious orders have filed for Chapter 11 protection. What's interesting about these cases is the definition of what constitutes property of the estate. There is a tension between canon law and state law. Now, canon law is Catholic law, and it's a fully developed legal system that governs the Catholic Church, including who holds title to property in the Catholic Church. According to canon law, parishes, which are individual churches, can own property. However, under state law, many of the dioceses that are the governing bodies of these parishes are corporate souls, and the individual parishes are unincorporated divisions. So under various state laws, the individual parishes cannot hold title to property, and all property of the parishes are property of the diocese. Well, this is played out in the bankruptcy courts, where the diocese have argued that they hold the property for the parishes in constructive trust and do not have an equitable, beneficial, or proprietary interest in the properties, whereas claimants argue for the application of state corporate law. Courts have taken different views on this. The diocese in Portland, in their bankruptcy case, the court said that state law is clear and state law applies and the property of the parishes are property of the diocese. Whereas in Tucson, there was a plan confirmed that largely followed canon law. But it's important to note in that same plan, the court required that each of the parishes were incorporated upon confirmation.